Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Anthony, and I'm here with the Orange and Blueprint Knicks podcast, and I'm about to do a little bit of ranting and some raving about these New York Knicks. It's snowy out here in this January day, but it's always nice up under these orange and blue skies. And so I'm just going to get right into it. I haven't talked to y'all in a minute about these Knicks. And so we'll get started here. First off, thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. You know, we appreciate everything, everyone who joins us at HHSR. And, you know, please continue to support everything. As far as the Knicks go, right now they are still floating around the 500 mark, which is, you know, if you check the tape, so to speak, you know, that's kind of what I was hoping for all season. It would be, of course, you know, New York Knicks luck that a 500 record makes you sit at 10th place in the conference and toward the midpoint of the season. But, you know, hopefully we can at least continue to stay at this level. We've got a nice home stretch coming up. We need to kind of get some wins here over these teams that we have on the schedule. And the Knicks have shown this season so far that they can beat bad teams and good teams and try and compete with the great teams. And that's all you can expect out of a team when you're trying to really into the first year of your rebuild and, you know, hopefully be somewhere around 500, hopefully above 500, but kind of that area. So being able to contend, you know, for portions of games with, you know, the Spurs, the Cavs, those are two teams that we've kind of, who I consider the great teams, that we've played this year. So, you know, and both, I think the series with both teams are done. I know the Spurs is done, but Cavs, maybe there's one more game there, one or two maybe. But, you know, with both teams, the Knicks show that they compete for a little bit until, you know, the game gets tight and, you know, the team, good teams are separated from, or great teams, basically. Great teams walk, kind of push away from that down the stretch, and that's what the Cavs have done. The Spurs did the same, too, except for, you know, a close game we had there. And I'll touch on that in a little bit. But, you know, I'm kind of satisfied with where we are right now, and I'm going to kind of break down a couple of key stats that I've noticed this far in the season. I'm going to go ahead and start off with one of the most popular players in the NBA right now, Kristaps Porzingis. It came out earlier today that his jersey is top five or top six or something like that in sales, which is indicative of the reach of his popularity. And hopefully, you know, just for his sake and you know, for fans' sake, supporting a future superstar player, that he can continue. And that kind of gets him an all-star appearance. You know, I don't know if any of you guys follow me on Twitter. I've been hitting up that hashtag NBA vote for KP and Carmelo. That's since closed, but you know, I've been doing my part. Hopefully everyone in Latvia who's been retweeting me was able to kind of push our boy into the all-star game. And we'll see how that goes. And also we should be having a little fun with that, just putting out our own kind of wish list of all-star starters for the game between myself, Justin, and Kenny. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can all be happy. And, you know, if you have some starting five that you want to see, just let us know. We'll want to discuss all that and look forward to that game. But, you know, that's with one of the things I thought that was cool about Kristaps right now. You know, his jersey is selling. It's not a huge surprise. It doesn't mean a lot, but it's fun. But on the court, you know, he's having fun there too. You know, he's averaging 13 and 8 right now with 2 blocks per. So he's doing it on both sides of the ball, and he's just getting better every game. It's once a game he does something amazing, and I love it. I love it. He's my pick for Rookie of the Year. No surprise there. But, you know, I'm keeping an eye out on Karl-Anthony Towns. He's another guy who is similar to our own KP, and he's got, where is he at? I don't have the number here, but I know that they're both right now top 10 in blocks in the league, which is saying a lot when you've got these two guys who are highly touted rookies, and they've clearly at least been ahead of the curve. They're clearly ahead of the curve as far as defensively. Probably got a lot to learn offensively and as well as dealing with the grind. But, you know, those are two great things. And I can't rave about this draft class enough. You know, so, yeah, that's kind of an interesting stat right there where those are the two top rookies in double-doubles. Last night I saw that Karl-Anthony Towns has 19, Kristaps has 16, and they've played the same number of games. So there's pretty close there. Their numbers are pretty close across the board. That rookie of the year race is going to be pretty tight from here on out. Another little kind of fun stat was that while Kristaps is 7th in the league in blocks, last I checked anyway, Robin Lopez is 20th, and like, he's a guy who you don't think of, he gets that many blocks, but you know, he's doing it too. So it's one couple of things that are indicative of the Knicks with a really good defense. Another guy who's kind of helping with that is Lance Thomas, and he's kind of put himself in a situation where he is one of, between him and Carmelo, are probably the best perimeter defenders that we have, but I love watching them play together because they can switch and still have that same size. So those are two great things. And, you know, Lance Thomas is 27, and he's finally starting to maybe find a very positive niche in the league. He plays good defense. He doesn't do a ton on offense. I think he's averaging like 8 points per, but, you know, he does a decent enough job of getting to the line. He's one of the top in the league as far as percentage, not attempts. He's got 77 or so attempts at this point. And, you know, he's hitting about 90%. So having a guy who can play good defense, move the ball around, maybe can't create his own shot, definitely can't create his own shot, but can get to the line, makes it count when he gets to the line. Those are always valuable things you want on a team. And hopefully he's in a contract year, so hopefully it ends up something where he ends up staying with the Knicks for good value next year. But next year's a long ways away. We'll keep on the here and now. Talking about the head guy, Carmelo Anthony. I talked about him earlier, and he is right now, he's continuing to play some of his best all-around ball of his career, and especially as a New York Knick. His complete and total wrapping his arms around this entire new team has been a breath of fresh air and goes in the face of all the naysayers out there, and I can't be any happier with what he's doing. He's got 22-8-4 and on a per night basis, and he's doing a lot of good things. You know, he had an injury, and I'll touch on that in a moment, but you know, the team goes as he goes. He's missed four games. We lost those four games, and we need him. He's our best player, and he's showing that he is reaching that level of a player who can make, inarguably makes everyone better, as opposed to just kind of making himself better and taking people along for the ride. I think a better team put together, a better organization, has kind of helped that as well. And as far as the team goes, you know, I mentioned that right now they're around 500. It's 21-22. We've got game tonight and a good home stretch coming up. Hopefully we can get some wins. But the Knicks are still playing good defense and doing things that, at least in my mind, make a high-quality, high-caliber basketball team. And that is playing good defense and then being able to make free throws. So right now the Knicks are, as a team, are leading the league in free throw percentage, 80-some percent. Their opponents are shooting some of the worst in the league from the field and especially at the basket. So, you know, in this league right now, you've got to be able to defend the three, run people off the three, and then defend the basket. So, you know, it's not surprising to see that with 2 7-footers in the starting lineup, the basket's being protected pretty well. I think right now we're only third in the league with opponent shooting percentage at the basket. I think that was behind San Antonio and Chicago. I'm not 100% sure. Don't hold me to that. But I know that they're one of the top teams in that area, as well as against the three-point line. You know, running people off the three, keeping people away from the basket, making people shoot that mid-range shot, which, according to Smart Basketball Minds, is the worst shot in basketball. You know, that's positive. You can't deny those things. And combine that with the fact that the Knicks on the offensive side of the ball, while they don't score a ton of points, I think they're some of the worst scoring points, they are very efficient at scoring where smart basketball says don't shoot there and where people force you to shoot. So if the way the Knicks play, we've got a lot of people who can, you know, really bang home those mid-range jumpers, especially a little bit off the dribble. Carmelo's always been good at that. Aaron Afalo's been great at it this year. Kristaps is really good at it. And, you know, just everyone can kind of shoot there, which means the shot you want people to take, we can take it well and still, you know, be more efficient than normal with it. So, you know, that's going to help. And I think it's maybe not the best strategy long-term, but for this team this year, Derek Fisher, Phil Jackson, everybody has got them playing in a way they can win games and play to their strengths. And I think that's kind of what you want out of the leadership of your team. So, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, for now, it's working pretty decently. Hopefully it continues. And we can kind of continue to try and improve offensively. The Knicks are abysmal at trying to get anything easy. There's no easy buckets for the Knicks, and it's for lack of trying and lack of ability, I think, in a lot of ways, because I know that we are last in the league in points off turnovers, last in the league in fast break points, last in the league in points in the paint. So no easy buckets, and you know, we have maybe three guys on the team that can really get after it in transition. That would be Derek Williams, who is first or second in the team as far as, you know, points in the paint and getting to the free throw line. And then Jerian Grant, who doesn't get the clock that he needs to really kind of push the pace. But when he does, you can see that, you know, his young legs and his ability to his willingness to pass the ball forward, you know, off misses or even off makes, you know, that's something that that the team needs desperately and, you know, hopefully can improve the scoring and keep momentum going. You know, right now the Knicks have a point differential of basically 0.08, something like that. 0.8, I believe, which is indicative of the fact that they're about a game under 500. And, you know, those are the kind of things that are going to matter come, fingers crossed, playoff time. So, moving on, I want to touch on a couple of things. Some wins and losses that since we've talked, I would think that are kind of noteworthy, kind of interesting. There was the game where, like I mentioned earlier, that Carmelo got hurt, and that was against the game in Boston. Him and Kristaps came out on fire. They were feeding off each other, feeding off the Madison Square Garden crowd. And, you know, we talk about how Carmelo doesn't get calls and people whack him and the refs don't call it. Well, a ref knocked him out, and I think he did it on purpose, and he needs to be excommunicated from the league because as Carmelo was running back up the court, he hits him with a little Ric Flair-ish, my foot is out, and Carmelo ends up stepping on the ref's ankle, twisting his ankle, and, you know, little Nancy Kerrigan-ish going on over there. I'm saying it's a conspiracy. I'm putting it out there, and it came against Boston in New York, so, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if those crumb bums did that on purpose, set that up. So, you know, it is what it is. The Knicks still went out and won. That game saw Kristaps Porzingis foul out. That was a teachable moment there. He had five fouls and kind of very not smart play. He dove at Jay Crowder, and hit him on a three-point line. And so that was his sixth foul, so he was out. So we're down our two top scorers, well, two of our best scorers. Aaron Afalo comes in, and he kind of holds water. But then Jerian Grant, actually, and it's not quite the Jerian Grant game, maybe the Jerian Grant half. He came in there and really kind of righted the ship, like I said earlier, with that ability to kind of attack the basket, attack in transition, and just inject a more youthful, quote-unquote, pace. And he came in there and really played his well. It's probably some of his best ball as a Knick. I know he scored 16 and got 8 assists in 23 minutes. And those are valuable minutes, especially with, you know, Carmelo being out. Kristaps going out with fouls. So we needed that. That was huge. Knicks ended up winning that game 120-14. So, yeah, that was Jerian Grant kind of showing us, hopefully, what he can kind of do as a player for the New York Knicks. But unfortunately, like I mentioned, Carmelo missed games because of that. There was a game against Brooklyn the next night. And while they suck, and that makes me happy, they're a professional basketball team, and the Knicks came out. I think other than Derek Williams, no one really played well. Derek Williams destroyed them and had enough dunks to fill a two-minute highlight package on his own, walk away with a loss. So that kind of stinks, but, you know, some of those things can be built on. It sucks because that's really against Brooklyn, you just want to win that game because they're terrible, and, you know, you need to stack wins wherever you can get them. But that was Derek Williams game. He had 31, which I think is a season high for him. Maybe he can carry that over, but you know, it is what it is. Speaking of another team that Knicks lost to is the Spurs. I talked about them earlier, and Carmelo made one of the best plays that he's probably had in his, Knicks career when balls coming down. Actually, let me back up there. Speaking of great plays, Derek Fisher drew up an awesome kind of out-of-bounds play that got Kristaps an easy layup at the basket that gave the Knicks the lead before, unfortunately, the Spurs scored. But getting back to Carmelo, there was a rebound. He gets the ball. He has the claw on him. I guess people are calling Kawhi Leonard the claw. And drives left, gets a soft double from Ginobili, kicks it out to Calderon in the corner for a three. That exact spot, he's shooting 83%. Throws it up there, it clanks off the side. Knicks lose 99-100. Spurs go on to continue to win at home. I think they're like 7,000-0 right now at home, which is great for them, bully for them. They're one of the great teams in the league. No shame in losing to them. But Carmelo's willingness to make that pass shows just how different he's playing. He doesn't do that last year, the year before that, anytime in his Knicks career. Well, that's not accurate. We lost a game to Boston in the playoffs when he made an excellent move to the basket, dropped off the ball to none other than Jarrett Jeffries, who had the stoniest of stone hands and dropped it out of bounds. So maybe he had a little PTSD from doing that. But he overcame it, threw it off to Jose Calderon, who missed it. Like I said, the lesson is that trust the teammates. That's an 83% maker right there, one of the best three-point shooters the league's ever seen. And, you know, it is what it is we lost, but that's still something that can be positively built upon. That's a team that's, like I said, second year in a rebuild, trying to get any type of small victories. Hate the term moral victories, but that might be one there. That's for the team. After that, the team did go on a bit of a run. Back-to-back wins over Atlanta. You know, Aaron Aflalo really dominated the matchup there. And the team, for once, finally kind of contained Kyle Korver. And I don't know what his kind of situation is this year, but the Knicks kind of held him in check. And the Hawks are a team that the Knicks match up well against, and because they don't seem to have an answer for Aaron Aflalo or Kristaps Porzingis. So, you know, those are kind of, that might be a team where, you know, you want to get all the wins. I don't know if we have any more versus them. I don't think so, but that's a team that kind of the Knicks are better than. And some with continuity throughout the rest of the year into next year, that's a team that, you know, the Knicks possibly can you know, jump. After that, they did go ahead and lock up with the Heat after that on the second night of back-to-back, and the Knicks won that game as well. And You know, so a little run there, that was great. But as far as the Heat, the best things about those games are seeing KP go up against Chris Bosh, who's one of the players who he really should emulate for his career. I think that Bosh, you know, Dirk, Anthony Davis, to some extent Kevin Durant, those are players that Kristaps Porzingis should be modeling his game after and looking to try and steal everything they do and improve upon it to be the unstoppable unicorn force that he eventually will be in this NBA. So, you know, those are some noteworthy wins and losses between, you know, last couple of weeks that got us to this point here. The last one I wanted to kind of check out, or not check out, but touch on, was this Martin Luther King Day matinee against the 76ers. Once again, we get to see Kristaps versus Ja Okafor from Philadelphia. And they didn't, unfortunately, just because of the way the teams are put together, they didn't guard each other a ton, which is a little disappointment. But God, man, Jahlil Okafor is so good. And he needs to be improved on the defensive end. He needs to play for a team that doesn't also have Noel on it or Embiid coming back, in theory. So, I mean, there's some limitations there as far as his franchise, which is not surprising since they're terribly ran on purpose. But, I mean, his touch around the basket, he showed everything that he's showed against Duke. And, you know, I think he ended up with, I know he was in double figures. It escapes me right now, but he looks really good. I don't understand why, you know, he ends up not playing in any of the overtimes. It was a double overtime game. And the most important part of that is there was a very big scare with Kristaps taking a spill, going for a rebound over Noel. And he sprained his foot. He played a little bit more in regulation, didn't play any of the overtime. For unexplained reasons, neither did Jahlil Okafor, who appeared to be fully healthy. But with the reports coming out now that in the next game he's had a day rest, and the game against the Jazz is tonight, and he's questionable. You know, with a guy of his size, his height, any type of injury to feet is always going to raise a ton of red flags. Hopefully it's nothing serious that does not linger. The Knicks showed a lot of, especially Derek Fisher and, you know, the coaching staff during the game, showed a lot of restraint and foresight in not playing him anymore. You could tell he wanted to play. Sometimes you've got to kind of protect these guys from themselves. You know, the drive that makes them elite level players can also make them elite level, you know, patients as far as return trips, you know, see RG3. So, you know, the team holding him back, holding him out, that was huge. Another positive step in the development of not only himself, but the rest of this team, our coach, all that stuff. So that was something that I thought was kind of cool, kind of noteworthy, and hopefully kind of doesn't continue. Hopefully there are no more setbacks, but you know, you've got to be happy to see that the leader of the team, you know, Derek Fisher, is showing a lot of poise and just general smarts, the kind of thing that, you know, we all hoped, at least I hoped to see out of him when he became the coach. And speaking of, you know, what he's done so far, one of the main things that Fisher has done is to shorten that rotation. Now we've got a solid rotation, and, you know, you'll notice that everyone I've talked about, you know, Carmelo, Kristaps, Grant, you know, Lance Thomas, Calderon, you know, those are the guys, Robin Lopez, those are the guys who get playing time now. It's not a whole bunch of guys. We're not playing the entire roster. We got a good 9 people, pretty standard. Everyone knows their role. The other person I left out is probably Langston Galloway, who is also playing pretty well. Kind of been up and down, but he's still playing well, can do some good defending. His defense against Philadelphia was huge. Going down the stretch against Ish Smith, who was just, he was just destroying Jose Calderon, who can't defend anybody who is quick at all. But, yeah, so Langston Galloway came in. But, you know, we've got a very short rotation, And it's something that is allowing everyone to thrive in roles, clearly defined roles. And that's something that was a criticism of Derek Fisher, but he was kind of doing something where he was letting everyone show what they could do with their time. And now we've kind of got a thing where everyone's kind of figured everything out. And that's positive for the team going forward. But he also has learned when to kind of deviate from that too. You know, on night of a back-to-back, you might see different guys. You might see different guys come up for various situations based on a particular matchup or if someone's kind of having a hot night on off on the other team. So he's becoming more of a full coach as opposed to a learning coach. I mean, he's continuing to learn, but he's moving from just a motivational leader to starting to become a tactician, which is what you have to be able to balance both of those. And he's going to do well at that. So that's one of the things that another example of continued growth in this rebuild for the Knicks as they try and push for a playoff spot this year. And Derek Fisher is going to be a huge part of that. And I'm going to wrap this up here. Just give me a couple more minutes every time. The one thing I did want to touch on, you know, here at HHSR, we always try and kind of highlight positivity off the court from off the court or off mic from, you know, any of the artists we cover, any of the athletes. And I got to give another kind of shout out to Carmelo Anthony. He's been one of the most philanthropic athletes that we have. He does a lot of things and don't get a ton of coverage, but you know, through his own foundation, I think it's named after him. I can't quite remember, but his foundation, he does a lot of things where the money actually goes to people and projects. You know, he has all the courts he's built in New York and in Puerto Rico and Maryland. So those kind of things are important. And he's done a lot of stuff where he's, and it is with the team. I'm not going to give him all the credit. It's with the Knicks organization too, but he's done some good things, and he's part of the athletes this year and last couple of years that are becoming a little bit more active socially. He, you know, he marched in Baltimore with protests over Freddie Gray, and he's part of the athletes in the NBA who are part of the, I mean, the league as well. But everyone involved is coming out for to curb gun violence, come out positively in support of gun control initiatives, that kind of thing. And it's, you know, it's important because, you know, the violence in the Black community is afflicting a lot of these guys as they came up to get to where they're at, as well as people who want to. So, you know, those are kind of things. If you want to try and make a positive impact, using your own image, your own backstory as a way to try and make changes socially, politically, those things are, they're positive. And, you know, I got a hats off to him for that. He's a part of the group. I know LeBron's done some work in that area, for better or worse, for his own just self, for what people ask of him. But LeBron, D Wade, you know, Steph Curry, all of them put out PSAs with the NBA about trying to, stop gun violence. And is the effect minimal? Maybe, but it's also positive. So, you know, hats off to all of them involved. That's another one of those things that, you know, I got to commend not only Carmelo, but also, you know, the commissioner of the league, Adam Stern. I wrote a little article about that, how he's been kind of doing a great job as commissioner, his short tenure. That's one of the positive things that he's done. So check that out. And, you know, check out a lot of things. We've got some good stuff coming out, you know. Keep checking with us for all of our playoff picks for football. I went head-to-head with Justin last week and completely lost every pick against him. So, you know, that was embarrassing. Hats off to the editor-in-chief. You know, you got this round. You know, screw you. But also check out Justin's got a couple of podcasts where he interviewed DC Hendrix. So the DC Hendrix experience. And of ESPN Radio. He also interviewed LeBron's head coach from high school. That was a pretty good interview on a lot of things that are kind of both always current and important to the game of basketball and, you know, how it affects, you know, life coming up And, you know, we'll be having more stuff coming out about the All-Star game and, you know, music stuff and just constantly working here. So just keep constantly coming back, you know, share everything, let us know what you think. And hit us up if you have anything that you think that is something that you want to hear us talk about, want to hear us or read us about, all that stuff. So I wrap it up. I think this is a good spot to wrap it up. Thank you for listening. And go Knicks.